Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you, Echo Michael, with the Positive Mind. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday here at WBAI 99.5 FM. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today, I want to talk to you about something that's coming up. And it's really kind of intriguing, because I want to address all the psychotherapists and counselors out there, as well as military people, employers. Today, I want to talk about what's coming up this Sunday. This Sunday is Father's Day. Now, why do I talk about Father's Day? And don't head for your dial. You know, there's a whole group of people out there who so want to deny the importance of their fathers in their lives that they don't want to even hear a program about it. You know, but we listen to fathers all the time. A little earlier, we were listening to Majid Ali, who is trying to bring you information about prostate cancer for men who get older and have to deal with prostate issues. But in a way, Majid Ali is one of those good daddies in the world. You know, he's out there trying to help people out by giving them information. Good daddies are all over the place, except maybe up close, some of the good daddies are not such good daddies. I mean, what about your father, and what was your relationship with your father like, and how did it affect you? That's what we want to look at today, because if you don't look at it today, what's going to happen is you're going to go on a kind of automatic. Now, we run a psychotherapy center here in New York City, and one of the things we do is alert. We alert the therapists, especially the male therapists. Father's Day is coming up. Expect that your client is going to have a transferential, what we call transferential reaction, which means however they felt towards their father is going to be, they're going to react to you in some kind of way. Maybe not identically the same, but the needs are going to show up or something's going to show up. And if you're not a therapist with a client, this often happens when you are a boss with employees. You could be an employee, a boss, who is a perfect father figure, you know, if you're the head of a company. And suddenly you see your employees are reacting to you in some strange way. And the way they're reacting to you, you just know it doesn't have to do with you. They overreact, they underreact, they feel insulted by you, they feel neglected by you. And there are things that are going on. Well, if you're an employer and it's Father's Day, believe me, it's a good time to duck. Duck any meetings, you know. Don't have meetings. If an employee says, I'd like to have a meeting with you, try not to have one on the Thursday or Friday before Father's Day, because it's going to be loaded. That's if you're really smart. Most, of course, don't do that. And the person comes to you bringing you their needs from childhood. Well, what are their needs from childhood? What did we need from our fathers? If you had a nice father, it was a really nice thing. You got love, tenderness, affection, caring, respect. You know, all that good stuff. But believe it or not, very few people get that from a father. Very, very few. Women are more likely to get it from their fathers than men are. Yes, it is easier for the father to share himself with his daughter than it is with his son very often. He can share himself with his son on a kind of removed athletic level. But as far as the heart goes, fathers feel safer generally with their daughters than they do with their sons. They may be closer to their sons, but it's a non-emotional kind of closeness. It's more of a kind of a brother-to-brother kind of closeness. So that puts us in a position of trying to understand what kind of relationships do fathers have. Well, the most difficult one, as I said, is the son-father relationship. I would say a good 90% of the men that I see who are in trouble emotionally in this world, who have trouble with relationships, have difficult relationships with their fathers. Certainly, if they have bad relationships at work, certainly if they can't keep a job, certainly if they get in trouble with authorities, police and the courts and so on and so forth, always trouble with their fathers. The father-son relationship is so enormous, so big, that it clearly determines what that son is going to do with the rest of his life, and it clearly determines, or 99% determines, success or failure. And the only way out of it is when the man, who is the son, is willing to look at himself and examine these aspects. I mean, think about right this minute. Here I am. You know, you're on the air shrink talking about Father's Day, and already a number of men have left the room. They don't want to, they just got too busy, you know. They don't say to themselves, I don't want to hear this. They just, oh, this doesn't relate to me. I'm done with my father. I have nothing to do with him. I got to go outside and mow my children or something. You know, I've got to do something really important. I've got to change my oil filter. What kind of dads do men have? And we're going to talk about the men-father relationship and the daughter-father relationship today. Now, there's a dad who's there, right? So we have two kinds of dads, right? The dads that are there and the dads that are not there. The dads that are not there could either be dads that are not there because of abandonment or divorce or separation. And then there's the dads who are not there because of vocation. They could be in the military, and they could be salespeople, and they could be not there because they're just never there. And then there could be the dads who are dead, not there because of death. One of those very good excuses for not being there. All three are reasons to not be there. And then there's the dads who are there, but not there. I had a man I saw earlier today, beautiful man, wonderful man, just great, but absolutely so paranoid, doesn't trust anybody. And when we talked about his father, he said, my father was there, but he was dead. He was dead. He was there, but not there. It kind of reminds me of my grandfather Joe. My grandfather Joe used to be there, and he wasn't there. He was kind of invisible, like not there. Yeah, you know any people like that? Never said anything, you know, anything bad, nothing. I never got any trouble. Just a non-existent father. And then there's the father who is there. So now we're talking about the fathers who are there versus the fathers who are not there. The fathers who are not there, we said, are dads who are not there because of abandonment of some sort or divorce. Remember, it doesn't have to be abandonment. The mother could have left them. The mother could have picked up the kid and said, we're leaving daddy behind because we found somebody else. So it doesn't have to be the father's doing the abandonment, but it is to the child a form of abandonment. So the child loses a father to divorce, separation. That's one way. Or they could lose a parent to vocational thing, like dad works for the U.S. Army and is stationed in Sri Lanka, wherever he's stationed at the moment, and he's over there for the next 10 years or whatever. He just re-enlisted. He comes home occasionally. And when he comes home, he brings presents, and he looks like somebody you call your father, but he's not there. And then there's the dad who died, which happens, and it very often happens to young children. Their dad just is dead. So that's the not their dad. And then there's the their dad. And so far we've talked about the dad who is there and loving and wonderful and supportive and goes to the baseball games. But if you lose, he says, nice effort. Now the dad who's there but scary, I call this there but scary category. Right? We have the there but not there category. Right? That's the one like my grandfather Joe. And then we have the there but scary. Now, there but scary could be the dad who is an alcoholic, there but scary, right? He drinks, he comes home, he's likely to at any minute blow up, become violent, That's the there but scary. And then there's the there but scary overworked guy gets home and mom is kind of enjoying the triangulation of the children with the father. And they say, she says, mom says, don't disturb dad. And so dad is isolated because dad's worked so hard. So dad is not to be disturbed. So he's there, but he's kind of too precious to be disturbed. And mom keeps you separate from your father in some way because she's always warning you that dad has got too much on his plate. So he's there, but he's unavailable, but he's scary because you're afraid if you tax him with something, he may have a heart attack, or he may fall down, or he may scream, or he may beat you up. And then there's the dad who's there, but there too much. And the there too much dad is the kind of dad who, when you're playing baseball, and he goes to the Little League game, and the pitcher throws something that's obviously a ball, but the umpire calls it a strike, the father winds up on the field screaming. He's there too much. I call that the there too much dad. And it's almost as if you don't exist, but your father exists, and he's using you as his second skin. He's using you to manifest, to show who he is. Now, we talked about the dads who are gone. We talked about the dads who are there. I'm sure there are many other forms of dads. In fact, I'm going to ask for your calls at 212-209-2900. What kind of dad did you have? They're not there. They're but scary. They're too much. Not there. But then there's another one. There's the one that's not there, but there. They live there as a ghost. They're not present, but in your mind, they're always present. You know, even if your father died sometimes, it's like he's always present. So this time of year, for many people who had a tender relationship with their father, is a very big time. Your heart is kind of aching. You know, if your father died a few years ago, you kind of remember. And it's kind of nothing better in the entire world on Father's Day if you miss your father and you're a woman than waking up with your man and just feeling safe. Because Father's Day is a touchy day, and people don't acknowledge it. They don't acknowledge how it touches them. You know, I mean, the way we've gotten it down to Father's Day, what we're going to do. Well, Mother's Day, we honor Mother's Day. We do a big deal there. You know, we have a lot of things we do for mothers, candies, trips, restaurants. Your father, you buy him a tie. You know, how about a little better than that? How about a little better for your dad if you had something you want to celebrate rather than something you want to ignore? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm telling you to attend to this, my friends, because if you attend to it, it will free you. Free you, because I promise you, if you have trouble in relationships, it usually is related to a denied acknowledgement of the troubles you've had as a child with your own parents. Have you ever noticed that you're just like your father or just like your mother? That's why did you become like them? Why didn't you become your own kind of person? Because, my friends, you miss your parents, and the way you miss them, the way you can have them, is to become them. People become their parents because they are dependent on their parents. So when you're a man and you're related to a woman and you love your woman and you think you love your wife or mate and you think she's the most wonderful thing in the world, then you start to abuse her. And you suddenly realize you're abusing her just the way your father did, abused his wife. And you wonder, how am I doing this? How am I yelling at this person who I really care about? Because there's a part of you that's aching. To join with him, and that's why you become like him. Same with women with their mothers. So, again, this is Armand DeMille with you. We're going to be taking your calls. Women, for women, dads are a very, very, very big deal, but they know it's a big deal. Women go into therapy, they talk about their dads all the time. My father this, my father that. Acceptable. Men go into therapy, they do not talk about their dads. They consider any relationship with their dads, dependency on their dads, to be almost like it's not worth the attention. They talk about their relationship with their mothers. How many therapists out there who are listening have guided your patients to talk about their fathers in depth? You know, therapists very often avoid the subject, especially if the therapists are women. You know, if you have a woman therapist with a male patient, the woman rarely will explore the patient's relationship with their father. You know, rarely. So, and I've supervised enough people and taught enough people to see the blind spot that exists. Now, men, you know, one final thing about men, and then we're going to take your calls at 212-209-2900. One final thing about men is that every man I've ever said who said that he hated himself, listen to this piece of information. Why would a man hate himself? He hates himself. I hate the way I am. I hate myself. I hate how needy I am. The thing that men most hate about themselves is they hate how much they need their fathers. More than almost anything in the world, a man believes that in order for him to grow up, he's got to overcome his need for his father, which is partially true. You know, out there in the Serengeti, they throw you out there and they say, give up your father and just, you know, start your own family. So partially you've got to give up your dependency on your father, but not to not recognize and deny your own need and caring for him and desire to have him be there for you. That's a difficult thing. Men who refuse to acknowledge their need for their fathers hate themselves. And the part of themselves that they hate is the part of themselves that needs their father. But they don't see it. They just hate themselves because they think they're weak and they don't understand what it is. But a good therapist will guide them to that spot. And you'll virtually almost always uncover that what a man hates about himself the most is his need to have his father around. 212-209-2900. So, this is a loaded subject. Let's take a couple of calls. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, good afternoon, Armand. How are you?
I'm great.
I haven't spoken to you in so long, haven't listened in so long.
What's your name?
I am Andrea.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
It's interesting that we're talking about this subject today. Just that man gives me a knot in my stomach.
It does, right? Doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
How brave of you to keep listening. Most people have shut off the radio by now.
He just gives me a bad taste in my mouth. My dad is just the most incredible, ballsy guy in the whole world. I've severed my relationship with him because he's a misogynist. And just intolerable on so many levels. And I see so much of him in me as I grew up over the years. And I have hated it so much. And it wasn't until after dealing with this, you know, through therapy and spirituality and all the rest of it, that I'm actually able to look at myself and go, okay, you can get rid of that. That's not yours. You know, this is yours. But the guy is just,
Well, tell me about your relationships.
I've severed my relationship with him.
No, your other relationships. Your love relationships.
I actually do. My relationship that I'm in now with my dad or outside of my dad?
Outside of your dad.
Actually, I am in a caring, loving relationship. I have a beautiful partner, and that's it.
Now, how does your partner, in some way, a manifestation of the opposition to your father?
My partner is a very strong person, very strong and wise. And difference, I think, the strong part of it, yes, that's my dad was also a very strong person.
So those masculine. Are similar, right?
Yeah, those things are similar. Well respected and you know, a good provider. Those things are very much traits my father had. But, you know, they're, I don't know. What
is
are
your
the,
partner, is your partner a woman?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's one of the things. There's the opposite of your dad.
Absolutely.
I mean, you didn't mention it by chance.
Oh, well, I said partner, and most heterosexual people do not refer to their partners as a partner.
Sure they do.
They do?
Yeah, no, most people who have a lesbian relationship will refer as partner, but heterosexual people will also do that. But the main thing I'm talking about is one of the things that you talked about with your father. You said your father was a misogynist. And
absolutely.
If anybody doesn't know what that means her father likes to give massages. No, misogynist means her father does like to give massages, but it's spelled differently. It means a woman hater.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it means. And so, in effect, you know, his masculinity itself is rejectable, is distasteful. You said, the thought of my father has a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it. And you've chosen to relate to women. That makes sense. I don't think it's, I mean, I know that you may have other reasons to make that choice, but it also makes sense. It makes sense that I have completely severed my relationship with my man father. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I've embraced somebody else who has some of the qualities of his that I respected, but without his misogynism.
Quite possibly. I do have really great relationships with other men in my life. Just not that type of man. The overbearingly, you know, I am man, fall down, genuflect, worship me kind of guy.
Yeah, I understand. No, those are very difficult to deal with when you have the kind of background you had with your dad. You know, for other people, look at those kind of men and they consider them to just be boys. You know, the men who say, you know, I am man, genuflect and bend, bow down in front of me. You know, a lot of women who don't feel threatened by their fathers, they see these guys as boys and they kind of giggle and they say, oh, it's okay, sonny. You know, I may not bow down, but it's all right. You're okay. And, you know, you see them as the children that they are.
I've never thought of it like that. He's always been such an abuser and so rude. That, you know, I tried for many years to have a relationship with him, and he was unbending, and I just kind of let him go, let him float away.
Well, what we're saying is that even though we let him go and let him float away, he's still represented in your life. As an aversion, you know, what you need to do is to make friends with the New York Jets football team. You need to find... You need to find a way. You need to find a way to see this thing. You know, you go to a place where you have construction workers. You need to be able to look at them, and when they do their thing, if they do it, not that all construction workers do it, but if they do their thing where they aim at women and, you know, do the thing, to see the little boy in them. And when
I do see that actually.
Yeah, and when you do see it, a part of your heart melts. You just don't get angry. And when your heart melts, then you're really working on this item. You know You know what I mean? Thank
but
you
to
for
all the
calling
women out
in.
There for the women who've had great relationships and have great dads who've been supportive and loving, bless their hearts.
And bless your heart, too. Andrea, thanks for calling back. Thanks for coming back to WBAI. What a fortunate thing you were guided back today of all days, huh?
Thank you,
okay.
Armand. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. My name's Will.
Hello, Will.
How are you today?
Very good.
I'm calling in. You really floored me today because you started talking about things and fathers, and I did probably one of the first times actually wind up identifying as much as I should have been identifying the whole time with him. And
what do you mean by identifying to the people who don't know what that means?
That's because at present time, I am now my father. In a lot of ways, I've reached that stage where I am now the parent. It is now my job to raise children, whatever we're viewing our parents as. We are now in that role. And whether or not we either we find ourselves equal with him, better than him, or... inferior to him, it does make a large play in our lives today. I know right now I feel like I am, I've always been trying to be better than him. But I've used him as a role model in a sense. He was a hard worker, uneducated, but a very hard worker.
So let me ask you one thing while I've got you. What do you, you're going to talk about him, and if I know that you've been trying to be better than him,
mm-hmm.
tell me what about him and his inabilities wound up leaving you wanting as a child? When did it hurt you as a kid?
He wasn't there for me.
Right.
Emotionally. Yeah, he wasn't there emotionally. He wasn't there as a, and I found out, I came to find out, some 40 years later that, it seems like, that he believed that I may not have been his son.
That's right. And that's with a lot of, one out of five children? Or something like that. One out of five may not be sired by the parent they thought they had. Or parents believe it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now if your father believed it, then he must have always hated you on some level. He must have always treated you like you were an alien. You know, if he even suspected it.
I guess, yes, I can see that. I guess I did feel that along a period of time, almost like, you know, being left out from his world.
Yeah. Is he alive still?
Yes, he is.
Well, here's the thing. Let me tell you a thing. For you, more than for anybody else,
mm-hmm.
do a gene search on yourself. Because you may have the same question about yourself. Who is your father? And the reason I say, Will, there's a thing called GeneBase, GeneBase, on the Internet.
Okay.
Where you could send your DNA, you get a little swab of your cheek, and you send them their DNA, and they do some research on it, and they match it. And then they give you your profile of what your heritage is on your male side. Do you want to get your father's side? And then get one from your father. Find a way to get a swab from your father and send it out. And they'll give you a comparison of the two. Wouldn't it be fascinating to finally find that out, to know for sure who's whose?
That actually sounds, it's something we've thought about. I could say I actually turned it down in the past. I basically blew it off. I myself thought it doesn't matter to me because he was my father.
But it does matter to you. If you find out he wasn't, your
mm-hmm.
life is going to turn around. It's going to make a lot of things clear. You may as well find out.
Okay.
You know, it pay wherever we could get information, it pays to get information. So GeneBase, GeneBase, or GeneBase, they've
okay.
been the one that we've seen the most effective at what they do. It takes quite a few months to get the results back. But, you know, Will, instead of being like your dad, who spent most of his life living in the dark, you're going to live in the light. And so when your kid says, what's our heritage, you're probably going to know. You're going to say, well, I can't tell you who your father is, but I can tell you, here's your DNA. It's a good thing. Nice to talk to you, Will.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Armand. Bye-bye.
Sure. So this has been opening up a big area, this whole idea of genetics and DNA and DNA research. I mean, it's kind of fascinating because you know, you're able to find connections and misconnections. Very often, if a man believes that his son is not his own, he will abuse that son over and over and over again. And, of course, from the kid's point of view, the kid's sitting there saying, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong, you know? So that's the way it is. We're going to take a short break, my friends. When we come back, I will play you a little music, and then... And then we'll continue with your phone calls at 212-209-2900. Be back with you in a couple of minutes.
We'll be right back.
of all the things that I heard Prince do, when I saw the courage of coming out with a song like this, you know, maybe I'm just like my father. Maybe I'm just too demanding. The whole idea that there is an introspection available, that there is a way to look at yourself and to say, what's going on? Where does my relationship, my current relationship, how does that affect, or how is it affected by my relationship with my parents? Well, it is. Now, what does that mean? You know, I mean, there are a whole bunch of people running around yelling at their mates. You know, let's say your mate was got angry frequently, and your father gets angry frequently, you know, and there are a bunch of people who go running around saying, you're just like my father, stop being like my father. You know, they shouldn't be saying that. They should be saying, thank you for being like my father, because he gives me an opportunity to challenge my own misidentification of my father with you, because I know you're not my father, yet I'm reacting to you like you are. So this gives me an opportunity to challenge that part of myself. So a lot of people will say, you know, I refuse to go out with anybody who's like my father. I refuse to be anywhere with somebody who's like my father. But if you got a boss that's like your father, be grateful. If your father was an oppressive guy, be grateful. Your boss becomes your teacher. Because this is where you don't quit the job, but you say to yourself, okay, I've got to learn to separate the person in the present from the person in the past. Now, what stops people from separating the present from the past? It is frequently the fact that there is some pain in the past related to your father that you don't want to face. It's just too big. And the big thing may be, and it may be what Will said a couple of minutes ago. I mean, geez, I know it sounds like a terrible thought, but maybe he hated you. Maybe he hated you because the minute you were born, he lost his wife. Maybe he hated you because the minute you were born, everything changed in his life. He lost his freedom. Maybe he hated you because he just couldn't get along with the competition between, you know, having a young man around. Maybe he never got along with other men. Maybe he hated you because you were just like his brother and he hated his brother. Those are all possible, and I know there are people saying, oh, you shouldn't be talking about hatred between fathers and sons, but there is so much of it. If there wasn't hatred from fathers and sons, we would not be in Iraq. What do you think George Bush is doing? You know? Where's his dad involved in all this? What do you think their relationship is like? They're acting it out by killing millions of people. It's all about father relationships. A whole governmental thing. War is about father relationships. The other day I was on a treadmill, believe it or not, as I frequently am, and I was on this treadmill that had in front of it a TV, and in front of the TV, the name of the movie that was starting, which I just happened to be there at the start of it, and the name of the movie was The Day the Earth Stood Still. And in The Day the Earth Stood Still, it was kind of amazing. It's about an alien who visits this planet. And I only got, you know, up to 40 minutes of it. Then I left, of course. But the alien comes down to Earth, and one of the things the alien has to teach is that people who hate people create wars, and that people who hate people have a lot of a lot of business. Now, this is 1950, I think this film was made, or 48. This film was made, something like that, way back then. And it was basically saying there is a way of living where you don't have war. And the way of living where you don't have war is to find peace in your own family somehow, so that you're not acting it out some other way. Relationships with the father is a big deal. So if there's an opportunity, and I'm not saying you should, but if there's an opportunity to learn to accept your father for who he is without getting mad at him for who he's not, or for what he didn't give you in the past. And you don't have to love him. You don't have to love the man. You just have to accept him for who he is. And if there's any opportunity for you to do that before he dies, that's terrific. But if it's too late, then do it after he dies. But it is this acceptance that eventually frees you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Armand.
Hello there.
Hi. Well, I guess I had a scary dad.
Scary
at times.
Dad.
Yeah.
That's the most common kind of dad.
Yeah, probably. He drank, and not all the time. He would wait till like the end of the day, and then he was sexually abusive to me and my sister also, who's older.
When he drank, he was sexually abusive?
Yeah.
Was he actually touching sexually abusive?
Touching, but not like no penetration.
No penetration.
Yeah,
just,
it was very...
Just kind of sloppy, like you were girls in a bar.
Yeah.
Is that the way?
Yeah, like borderline, you know, like stuff that just crossed boundaries.
Just crosses over, but yeah. Gives you a scary kind of creepy feeling inside that something wrong is going on.
Yeah.
And then he's drunk, too, so he's got this kind of near-explosive attitude, so you don't want to offend him too much.
Well, he wasn't explosive in that way, but it was more just, like the smell and, you know, just belligerent, you know.
Tough stuff to remember.
It was like, but then, you know, in the morning, it was like everything was fine, and there was never disgusted or, you know, things were fine. I had a good family.
Very, very difficult. Yeah. Very, very difficult. So what did you wind up with your own relationships?
Someone who was like my mother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you stayed away from any man who drinks?
Well, I went after guys that were like that, but I ended up with someone who was not like that at all, not a womanizer, very straight, but in another way, sort of dead.
In another way, dead.
Yeah.
Because you would like your mate now to be alive, but you chose your mate because of their deadness.
Well,
because
it was safe.
That's right.
Yeah.
But now, you know the difference is? Now you're safe. You see, at the time that you chose your mate because it was safe because you didn't feel safe. But now, as Paula Jack taught me when I was talking to her about who you trust in the world or not, she said, well, I trust everybody. And I said, how come, Paula? And she said, because I feel safe, because I trust myself. As you get to the point in life where you trust yourself, then suddenly those early contracts are not that important, the one about having somebody. What's your name, by the way?
Willie.
Willie?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we had a Will and now a Willie. That's
perfect. Oh, no, yeah, Lily, yeah.
Oh, Lily, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lily, so now you're feeling different about it. Now you would like your current mate to wake up a little.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And the way that we're going to have to do this, right, is because you chose somebody based on your neurosis, right? And the neurosis was the fear of your father. We're going to have to get you to heal this relationship with your dad inside you.
Well, I talk to my dad like a few times a week, and I mean, it's a very strange thing. I feel like he's the only father I'll ever have, and he's still here, so there is something. It's almost like I'm trying to get something that I know I'm not going to get, but I keep going in there, and in a way he does too.
Sure, he's trying and you're trying,
yeah,
but you can't cross this line with each other, you know?
It's a big thing that we never get near, and, you know, we just talk about all this peripheral stuff. And
well, did you ever talk to him about that?
Once.
Yeah, and what happened?
Oh, he tried to deny it.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, it was a long time ago, or he was drunk, or he doesn't remember. And
how old is? Yeah, but you tried to talk to him about the abuse. Did you ever try to talk to him about the fact that when the two of you talk, you're always talking on the surface?
No.
You see, no. Okay, so there's one conversation. Now, if I were him, you know why I wouldn't want to have that conversation with you? Because I'm afraid you're going to bring up the sexual stuff when I was drunk.
Right.
So if I'm afraid you're going to bring up that, then the only conversation I could have with you is escapist conversation.
Yeah, how are the kids?
How are the kids? Yeah. How are the gentlemen? And that's that. So what if you went to your father and said, listen, Dad, you know that stuff that took place a long time ago that you know I brought up? I'm not going to bring that up. But I do want to be able to talk to you on a level other than how are the kids. I want to talk to you about what's real between us. And I know you're going to say, oh, it's really fine, everything's okay, but I am not satisfied with it. But I don't blame you for avoiding it. But I really would like to talk to you. You're the only dad I got, and I'd really like to talk to you in a real way, the way I could talk to my friends. And if we can't do it, you know, with each other, and you're willing to do it, then let's go find somebody who's in the middle, like a counselor in the middle, and the two of us will go, and we'll find a way to talk to each other. You know? I mean, take it. You know, take control of it. Because you got to have the power to do it. And you have the power to do it. Everybody does. You know?
I'm not sure what I want from him or...
Good. Yeah. Good. Exactly. One thing we know you don't want, we don't want you to be the same kid who is getting sexually abused, who's saying to herself, well, he's the only father I got, so I can't talk up. Because that's what you're doing now. See, we want you in some way to give him a lot of room, but to somehow speak up, make things change, because you're intelligent, because Lily, you listen to the positive mind, and you've learned so much about yourself, and you're a scholar in psychology. And they all lack this knowledge that you have. Well, so it's worthy of consideration.
Yeah, it definitely is.
You sound like you're in shock.
I never thought of it that way. I've always thought of going after the, you know...
The what happened back
then
stuff.
Yeah, and that...
Yeah, that becomes... After a while, that becomes a new mask.
Right. And
you know what I mean? So after a while, let me go, okay, not that you should forgive it, not that you should forget it, but eventually, you know, if you two had a real relationship, you could talk about it. Really talk about it. I know people who have done that with their dads. They established a relationship with their dads based on no discussion of past abuses. And then, when they finally got to a point where they felt friendly with each other, they could say, okay, let's talk about this. And they did. And they did. And they could have conversations that they couldn't have before. Because it wasn't all about attack and defend, you know? So I gave you a bigger job than you thought.
Yeah, well, you gave me a new thing, like a whole new look on it, which is really great.
Lily in her own reality show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha, Lily. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille taking your calls. We're talking about dads, fathers, fathers' relationships with fathers. Father. What a funny word, eh, father? If you put an R in there, you get father. You know, like, how distant is he? He's father. You know, mom. Mom sounds like she's right on top of you. Mother. Right there. Father. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. 212-209-2900. Somebody who's got to turn down their radio. You got to turn down your radio. You are on the air, but you have your radio turned on. All right, well, either the radio went off or we had to take another call.
Hi, how are you?
Good, who is this?
My name is Lerone.
Lerone, hi.
Yeah, this is a great subject you're talking about right now.
Thank you, Lerone.
And I'm probably, this is probably going to be the most unusual call you have today. I had a great dad. I had a great relationship with my father. He was my best friend. I was his right hand. And, you know, I, as the older I get, the more I realize how lucky I was. Cause I hear people talk in the way that I've heard your, listeners talk just now, and I hear it all the time with my friends. All these tragic relationships they had with their dad. And I'm just so happy that, I had that relationship until my father passed away when I was 19, and I miss him to this day.
Did you get in trouble when you were 19 years old?
Did I get in trouble?
Yeah,
no, I didn't get in trouble.
After your dad died?
After my father passed away, Yeah, I did. I did for like 3 months. I was.
Yeah, what kind of trouble were you in?
Well, I didn't go to school. You know, I kind of like dropped out of school and I kind of just spaced out for like 3 months. I didn't work, and I went to like a deep depression. But thanks to my mother, I was able to come out of it. And
good. It was a good time for you. That's a grieving time, and that's one of those grieving times that are important. That's what I wanted to know about it.
Like from October to December, I was out of it.
You were gone. Your world was gone. Your father was gone.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So listen, how does it impact on you, Lerone, when you get to this idea of Father's Day? Do you think about your dad at all?
Oh yeah, all the time. All the time. Every Father's Day, I know the day that my father was born, that bothers me. The day my father died bothers me. You know, I reflect on it. But I have good memories. And this subject that you're talking about is so powerful because, you know, in our society, we kind of take it for granted, the relationship between fathers. And I was a correction officer for 20 years, and I'm retired now. And I've seen a lot of people who have a deep resentment for their fathers, and it manifests itself in so many different ways, you know, that they didn't have that type of relationship with their father. I mean, just think about it. A 7-year-old kid knows that he has a father out there, but never sees him or isn't able to talk to him or, you know, sit with him. And, you know, and that just builds, I think, over the years.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Lerone, do you have any children?
Yes, I have a son.
How you doing with him?
Fine. I'm going to pick him up right now from school, you know, and I'm taking him to the park.
It's a really great thing. So I thank you very much for calling
in.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And yes, it's not the most unusual call, but it's a good call. Thank you. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900. We'll be right there. Sometimes it takes a little engineering. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Alan, how are you?
Good, who is this?
My name is Andrea.
Another Andrea. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, I was actually not going to call, and then I heard the first caller's name was
Andrea.
And then I just decided to call.
Well, that's fabulous. Two Andreas, great.
I don't really know my dad. My parents got divorced when I was 3 years old, and he lives in a different country. And I don't know him. And lately he's not been feeling very well, and I know I have to call him. He's much older than my mom, and he's getting on in age. And I don't really know what to say to him because I don't know him.
Yeah, in effect, you're angry at him.
I'm actually not. I'm just a little bit nervous being on the air right now. But
well, let me tell you about the anger. What about a dad who did not reach out to you all those years? How come he didn't reach out to you?
Yeah, he didn't. No, and actually, when I was born, my mom told me that he really didn't want me, and his family didn't want me.
So you don't get angry about that?
I don't feel any anger for him, or at least not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so that's going to be the secret here, Andrea. Now, do you also find yourself being attracted to men who are not available?
I have noticed in the past that, yes, I have been in relationships where men were not emotionally available, yes.
Yes, so see, this is the impact that it frequently has when someone has a father who is at such a great distance and is emotionally unavailable. So what you want in your life, yes, here's this opportunity to get in touch with your father who's sick and ailing, but the piece of it that you need to do is you need to recognize your anger at him, that you're angry at him, and even though I know this is difficult for you to do, but that's, you know, part of why you're depressed is because you can't acknowledge this anger. You have a right. Every kid has a right to be angry at a parent who says, no, I don't want to have you around. You know?
Yeah.
The kid has a right. The father has a right to say, no, I don't want you around also. But the kid has a right to get angry. And if you don't discover that anger in you, you wind up repeating this over and over again by choosing relationships with people who are just like your dad.
It's
not available. Older men, you know?
I've never realized that. I never thought that I was angry at him.
Yeah, so just give it a consideration. And, you know, again, it's the kind of thing that if you ever wanted to go through it with a counselor, a therapist. They could help you through it.
Well, he's in a different country, so it's not like I can go up there and talk to him.
But you don't have to do it with him. You could do it, you know, if you do it in therapy yourself or by yourself. You don't want to confront him. He's 85 years old, right? How old is he, 87?
He's in his 70s, late 70s.
Oh, he's in his late 70s. So you don't need necessarily have to confront him ever. You just have to confront yourself and the feeling you have inside you.
Yeah. Okay.
It's possible. Look at my website. We've got some good articles about it on my website, thepositivemind.com. You know, have you ever looked at the website?
I actually have. I've downloaded a few of the programs that I haven't listened to live, and I've been listening to them. And thank you so much. You're doing such a great thing.
And thank you, Andrea. Thank you for being on the air with us, too.
Thank you.
Right. 212-209-2900. Time for one more call. Let's take one more call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to be off?
Yes, turn your radio all the way down.
All right.
Hello? Turn it off.
Wow.
Oh,
I'm going to be off? Okay.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Carlos.
Hello, Carlos. Thanks for being on the air with us.
Wow. Hi, Armand.
Hi there. Tell me about you and your dad.
Great. A difficult situation. I'm just recently fired from my job. I never knew my father. And it seems like my young boss is angry with me. I basically do everything that he says. So, but I have a good relationship with my son. Never knew my father. So I'm trying to see what is it. And I like you saying not have any kind of meeting, because I'm supposed to have a meeting with the superintendent of a school. And I think I have selected to wait until after Father's Day, because I don't know what his position
is. That's a very good thing. Wait after Father's Day, because everybody gets their wacky stuff coming around Father's Day and they don't know it. But the other thing about you is the fact that you were fired, you said.
Yes.
You know, you were fired means that in some way authority and you don't get along too well, even if the authority is younger.
Correct.
You know, and that is the, if anything, that has got to be the clearest sign of a man who doesn't have a father. You know, that's the biggest loss for a man, is not having this kind of relationship with an authority that's respectful and loving. And then when you grow up, police and everybody else in the government.
As a teen, I was a trouble teen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. That's what happens, because you didn't have the guiding hand. You know, and you didn't have the positive mind in WBAI. You just didn't have it available. But I tell you, Carlos, you know, sounds like you're a guy who's trying your best. And how are you doing with your son?
I mean, my son, now he was angry at me about 4 years ago. He's about 25.
And he's able to tell you?
Oh, yeah, he was able to get it off. He was able to talk to me.
Well, that's fabulous. If you've got that, then you've done the right thing. Because if he can't talk to you, then that's where you get the biggest problem, you know?
Yes.
So, Carlos, thank you for calling in. Thank you for being on the air. We do have to go because I have it's the end of our program. And to all of you out there, happy Father's Day to the father inside all of you. And you see, each one of you have a father inside you, a male part of you that nurtures, that protects, that takes care of. You all have it, men and women, you all have it. So I say to the fathers all out there, from the father in me to the father in you, happy Father's Day, guys and gals. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. And send me an email, Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at thepositivemind.com.